Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. We're a bit lightweight this week, it would seem. I'm normally crap at the bookings. I'll take it. I am. But they've been dropping like flies this week. So Will Green dropped out, first of all. There is no Will Green here. Will Green has dropped out because allegedly this weekend he's publishing a British Mac podcast.
No, he's watching F1. He's getting all getting riled up for that.
If you don't know who British Mac is, Jeff, the British Mac podcast is Will Green's been podcasting for 8 years, and he's up to episode 130, and that says it all.
Well, so, there you go.
Kelly is not here. She's in Guatemala on work duties, unquote, which makes me believe she works for the CIA. Because who the hell goes to Guatemala for work, in inverted commas?
Well, she could probably tell you, but then she'd have to kill you.
Exactly. Kelly Gamont is head of Black Ops in Portland. The CIA
branch of a Black Ops in Portland. It's just awesome.
Yeah, that's a cult film, if I've ever heard of Black Ops.
In Portland.
Yeah, Black Ops in Portland. That's that might be the title. Cover band name.
That might be the... Well, I was going to say... Maybe Kelly Gamont is a sniper on a grassy knoll. If anything happens, I tell you what, if any shit goes down in Guatemala this week,
Kelly will be right on top of it.
Two and two will equal four.
Ship or the other?
No, I said shit. I'm going to publish that unclean. I don't care. Oh, okay. It's just the F word I don't publish. Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure I got the shit correct. Thanks,
mate. But only one or two of them, not five of them in a row. Who else has gone? Dr. Happy Mac wrote in. He said, I've got a customer's panicking. Can I go? Do you mind? I guess not. Customer. Andy Anatko didn't reply to his confirmation email. Leave notes the third Friday. Something must have come up, not least of which could be DST issues. And
I can't imagine anyone having trouble with DST.
No, Jeff. No one would do that, would they, Jeff? No.
No.
No. Especially not with time.is.
That's right.
Is that going to be your pick again today?
can I do the same pick on two shows?
You could do it. Yeah, sure. Doesn't stop Kyle. The panel that are joining me today, those that are left, top left, Don McAllister. How you doing, buddy?
Good afternoon. And can I just point out the lightweight thing was really down to the numbers, not the sort of intellectual capacity.
Oh, no, absolutely.
The remaining members. We're not all lightweights, are we? I mean...
No, absolutely. No.
I've got about 70 pounds still to lose, so no.
Oh, well, there you go.
I resemble that remark.
No. How are you? I'm fine.
I'm all right. Now, Holiday Boy, you're back. Where did you go?
Just had a couple of days off, just visiting some friends in New York.
Excellent. And did you do the sights and that kind of stuff, or was it more a living Tory visit?
We did a few of the sites. It's a big place, New York, and we've only been there a couple of times before. So we did some of the museums and, of course, the obligatory Apple stores. Oh, I visited the new Apple store in Grand Central Station for the first time. That was very nice, actually. Really, really nice space there. It's good.
Yeah, that looked like a busy old place, considering it. Because I went there when it was a crappy Italian restaurant that no one ever went to. And it looks like it's teeming.
Yeah. Well, we went there sort of early afternoon. It was busy then. Goodness knows what it's like at rush hour. But plenty of foot traffic for them, and it's sort of nicely separated as well. You have to go up some one end of the station, you go up some stairs, and then they've sort of got that top that first level floor all to themselves. But it's really nice, and they've done a lot of. They haven't really sort of impacted on the structure, so everything's sort of built on. So there's some nice signs as you go up, but they're not actually mounted to anything. They're on freestanding supports, and all the lighting's done really nicely, you know, sort of very discreet sort of LED lighting just above the desks. So good. It all fits in really well.
Did you see the tile?
The tile?
The tile at Grand Central Station.
Which one's that?
When they cleaned the roof, they left one tile uncleaned.
Oh, right. No, I didn't see it, but yeah. I wasn't looking for it.
I only know about it because I saw a program on Discovery about how they cleaned the roof. They said, we've left one tile so you can see just how dirty it was. And I went there and I walked the whole length of Grand Central Station looking up because, I mean, it's got to be 100 feet up to the top of that. And I'm looking for this sodding tile. And she goes, what the hell are you doing? I'm looking for the tile they didn't clean. What, one tile? Yeah, there's a tile that they didn't clean. I found it, but took us an hour.
Oh, you actually found it. My assumption was that they were totally pulling your chain.
No. There's a tile that is not cleaned at Grand Central Station, and I found it. Chat room's accusing me of showing off.
Mind you, I tell you what, that Fifth Avenue store is absolutely buzzing. It's always completely full of people. You know, that's the one that's open 24 hours a day, and it's underground. It's in the end of Fifth Avenue. Incredible store, that place.
But there's a certain element now. I mean, this is a good discussion maybe to start. We'll come back to that point in a second. Okay. Next to Don is Jeff. Jeff Gamont from the Mac Observer. How are you doing, below. Sir? Below, yeah.
Yeah, he's not next to him,
though. No.
Yeah, when I do this. Hi, Don.
Jeff, thank you very much for joining us. You would be an illustrious person to have on the Mac podcast, but we're chocked out normally. We're turning people away left, right, and centre. So thank you very much for stepping in and saving our bacon with coming on. How have you been since last night?
How have I been since what, last night?
Yeah, no bourbon this morning.
No, although it is actually pretty close by. But I'm thinking that in the sense of proper decorum, maybe breaking out the bourbon before 10 o'clock in the morning is a little bit wrong.
No, I've got a reputation. And actually, I'm just looking at Wirecast here in front of me, and it's frozen on the picture of me with a bottle of beer up to my face. So I have a reputation for drinking, but 10:30 is too early for me as well, mate. You're safe. Well done. And last but not least, from the Philippines, with newly restored internet, the voice of the NBA, Kyle. How are you doing, mate?
Oh, I'm well. I'm a lot better than I was about 45 minutes ago. So
good. Yeah, no internet. That's like your left arm's been cut off.
Pretty much, yeah. I was on 3G. I guess we could have done video. We seemed like, or audio only. That would have worked. But oh well. Thank God it's back.
Excellent. Well then, we've got some reviews before we start. We'd like to get reviews. If you'd like to give us a review, it makes a world of difference to us in iTunes. And we always read the reviews out. Tony T in California has written to us. He says, thank you for all the refreshing podcasts on Mac and technology. I personally download 96 podcasts, but yours is in the top 5. How the hell do you listen to 96 podcasts on a weekly basis? Maybe one of them is British Mac, however. yours is the top 5, all of the best. To watch. Keep up. You're one of the many and growing... I'm one of your many and growing fan base. Cheers, Tony. Thank you, mate. Sorry I stuttered over reading that out. Jimmy the Geek says, one of my favourite podcasts of all time. The show is entertaining, informative, has the top lineup of Mac pundits, journalists and experts with regular appearances by DHM, Don McAllister, Carl Swagger, Kelly G, Andy Anatko and Will Green with his laconic humour. The show is hosted by Ewan Rankin, who does an outstanding job. Thank you. Keep up the great work, guys. LTSM says, the Mac Show is a quirky, smart and entertaining look at the week's Macintosh news. Thank you very much. And someone whose nickname is Any Good Nicknames Left? Says, how do I say that Will Green's tangents can be quite tedious without upsetting him? Or should I say that Will Green's tangents can be quite tedious, especially when his Skype quality is so poor at times and you can barely understand him, or that sometimes he gets overexcited and will talk over another guest when they're making a perfectly good, valid, interesting and serious and maybe much funnier point? Talking of which, there are many, many opportunities to interrupt the guests with their many interesting, valid, serious or funny points, because this podcast has a very strong lineup with most weeks, and maybe the non-US-centric focus allows or encourages the US contributors to raise their game perhaps even further.
Mm.
Prominent regulars include Inatko of the Chicago Sun-Times, Forsman of Ars Technica, which never gets a laugh, Don McAllister of Screencast Online. Every podcast requires a token Scouser.
Wow.
And Kelly from the other podcast with the rude name on it. It's all good stuff. There are various technical issues, but most of these are limited to Will Green's audio. If you'd like a refreshing, non-US-centric view of what's interesting and a new world of Apple, give it a watch. And if you took Will Green out, it just would not be the same. Nice point to finish on, Andy. Annie, thank you very much. Durwood says, I have been listening to this show for a while now, and it's by far my favourite. It's a great characters and doesn't take itself too seriously. Finally, someone's worked us out. That means you can all stop sending me the emails calling me a wanker. Very informative, funny and entertaining. Highly recommended listening. And the last one comes from Second Doctor. And I've had the chat room on this one. And Jeff's been on this as well. Nice to have a good Mac video podcast that isn't just from the US. Macs, iOS, F1, photography. Is Ewan Rankin my evil twin? See goatee on Star Trek episodes. And I'm reliably informed that that must be the goatee on the evil Spock.
Ah.
I've got a funny ear. I think it's that one. There you go. But I could be Spock. There you go. See, I just fold it forwards. Look, there you go. Spock. Never mind. That'll catch up in about 20 seconds.
I think you make a great Vulcan.
there's got to be a pun on words there that's really inappropriate. But thank you, Jeff.
Oh, sure thing. And take that any way you want.
I will. The Week in Mac. What's been happening? It's been quite a quiet week again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's last week there was no rumours even, and this week there's still no rumours. So, is there going to be a keynote in the next sort of 4 weeks? Because I mean, by this point in time, something's happened.
Yeah, they must be doing a lot of sort of backroom work or prepping for the new year, because it is really quiet. And normally, even if there's going to be an event, we normally sort of hear a little bit about it at least 2 or 3 weeks before the announcement. Something normally slips out, but it's just deathly quiet at the moment.
I reckon.
Unless that's...
Go on, mate.
Well, I was going to say, unless that's just something Apple's trying to do now. They're trying to tighten down the hatches a bit again. I mean, because let's face it, at least the last year, maybe a little bit longer than that, but certainly the last year, nothing's come as much of a surprise to us, which is, I think we look forward to that as fanboys, quote unquote. And we like the sort of hype that comes out. What are we wrong about? What are we right about? And the mystery's kind of, in the last years, has kind of been gone with Apple.
I think the end of last year, though, it felt like a bit of a sort of line in the sand, with the last keynote when they brought out all those new products and made all the changes. And, we had so many new things came out all at once. It really did seem as though they were sort of lining all their ducks up, getting everything sort of in order so they could bring something pretty major out this year. And this long gap gives me sort of more reason to believe that they certainly are working on something, something major for this year. Just hope it's good when it arrives.
Jeff, any thoughts of why we've not heard anything?
I'm thinking that, what it comes down to is Apple's not ready to tell us anything.
Yeah.
my guess is that we haven't heard anything because we are just a few weeks out from whatever the next big announcement is. And it wouldn't surprise me if we get a minor update to the iPads pretty soon.
Right. To iPad 4 or iPad Mini?
Probably to the iPad Mini, because we got the fourth gen iPad minor bump when the Mini came out. So, I guess we could see a little bit of both.
Mm.
It just depends on if the parts that Apple needs to make it worthwhile to update both are available now.
It could be both. I would definitely see more for the Mini, though, because I think they pissed off a lot of people with the 4. Hey, you just bought one 3 months ago. We got a new one. So, I definitely the Mini I could definitely see something with. I don't know. It's just been all quiet with Apple. It's kind of downing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm the reverse, because I think they might leave the Mini alone until they can refresh the display with the Retina display, and that still might take a bit of time for them to come out with that. I don't think that's going to be a quick thing, but I think with the iPad 4, I think they could actually refresh that quite quickly with the new form factor. With the thin bezel down the sides and the squared off back, and to make it more like the iPad Mini form factor. I could imagine them doing that fairly quickly.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah,
and that's why you're on this show, Don. That's why we love you.
Well, I've got a different theory.
Go on then.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Host.
Well, no, I'm serious. I reckon Tim Cook is distracted. And I think it's tied into why Andy Iannacco's not here. I think Andy Iannacco is in the basement at Cupertino with electrodes on his testicles because he's got an Android phone. And you can't write for Macworld.
So Andy's into kinky sex. Oh. All right.
No, no. You can't write for Macworld and have an Android phone. And then Timmy's punishing Andy. Timmy's punishing Andy.
Hang on, hang on. I'm trying to switch you with my hand, Ewan. It's just not working.
I'm just trying to get the vision out of my mind. That's all.
You got a picture of Iannacco with testicles.
No. Don't go there. No, I think Jeff's idea. No,
there's the title.
The show was the best thing.
La 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 la. Thinking of Jeff.
Andy's Android phone's got a bug, you know, on the alarm. So he's that's why he's forgotten about this week's show. You know, didn't go off at the right.
No, I think. Apple's got to do something soon because they've been quiet for too long. I mean, don't forget, Tim Cook did say the thing about doubling down on secrecy. I mean, is that like, we're not going to have anything? We're not going to make any products this year and then no one will know anything?
Yeah, but don't forget that they don't have to, because, I mean, the only reason we think they have to is it keeps us in things to talk about. But as far as the product line is concerned and their sales, etc., they're still doing perfectly well. Obviously, they will need to bring some new stuff out to keep the momentum going, but, you know, they're pretty well positioned at the moment. But and don't forget, this time last year we'd also had OS 10 Mountain Lion out, and we haven't seen any new inklings of the new version of OS 10. It might have been out, you know, if they're going to the yearly cycles, then we might have expected to have seen that in the last couple of weeks.
I mean,
especially with all these Mac podcasters going to New York as well, you never know what's going on in the background.
my other thought was there was in my head, I think there's an awful lot that happened last year that wasn't planned. So you got the removal of Forstall. So all of the things that were scheduled for Forstall to be involved with all of a sudden had to take a stop. And now all of his vision's gone and all the new Ive vision's coming in for design. Browett disappeared, you know, after a short period of time as head of retail. So there's nothing to announce on the retail front because everything he envisaged was going to happen and Tim put a stop to and said, no, bugger off, mate, you're not wanted. So there's a thought process that maybe they've got this stopgap that's filling in for the people that they've sacked.
That's quite possible. I mean, yeah, I mean, you've got one vision, you're going that direction, and all of a sudden the guy's sacked. So things do have to kind of take a stop or a halt, and then you've got to start rethinking things or go in a different direction. So that's certainly possible, yeah. I mean, the only rumor I've really heard this week, which I'm actually sick and tired of hearing, is the cheaper iPhones that are supposed to be coming out to crack the China market, or they're going to have different colors and blah, 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 blah. I just really feel that it's the wrong direction for Apple to go. Why? It's, you know, make Samsung catch up with you. In other words, design wise, and to chase you, because that's what Samsung is doing. Regardless if their phone is supposed to be so great or so innovative or whatever you want to call it, they're still trying to catch Apple. And Apple's still the number one smartphone seller in the U.S. So yeah, worldwide, fine, it's Android, but it's a market that Apple has always been the elite product, the polished product, and I really would hate them to go the Sony route. Well, I'll put it that way.
You know, Apple has said, and when I say Apple, I mean Tim Cook and Phil Schiller have both said on more than one occasion, they are not interested in that cheap market.
Mm.
And I think what it really comes down to is that we have a lot of analysts out there that keep trying to push the old school, so to speak, PC world mentality onto Apple and think that they need to do exactly the same thing that every other company does to be successful. And clearly, Apple doesn't. What do they have? Almost $140 billion cash in the bank now, doing their own thing instead of the same thing that everyone else does.
They're not worried by anybody. Your video's frozen, by the way, Jeff, if you fancy restarting it.
Awesome.
They're not beholden to anyone. There was a few months ago, I was pretty cynical on Tech News Today when they were talking about building a facility in the US for building a line of Macs. And I said, I think they probably have got a payment holiday from the US government on the proviso that they provide US jobs. And lo and behold, this week, they've been allowed to bring $40 billion back in from overseas markets. Now, they're not going to be doing that without some kind of tax holiday as well.
Mm-hmm. So exactly.
There's going to be an infusion of cash from that $40 billion into the US economy, but a large proportion of that will be kept on the basis that they can give jobs out. So is the delay on the basis that the new product, in inverted commas, isn't coming because they're building new facilities to make sure that they can get it out there?
Well, I think a lot of it to do with the supply chain as well. I think there's an awful lot of effort that we don't see on the surface that goes underneath about setting up the supply chain and setting up the distribution facilities, not just for the US and China, but, you know, they're now looking at India and other big markets. And that must take an awful lot of effort. I mean, they should really be able to do things in parallel, but I suppose there comes a time when, you know, they have to stagger things because the product cycle leads into the distribution cycle. So I don't know whether this is like a breather for them to, again, get some things sorted out as far as the supply chain and distribution channels. And that sort of leads into the cheaper iPhone as well. And, you know, I don't for one minute think they're going to make a cheap iPhone, and cheap meaning, you know, tacky, horrible, you know, they probably will make a specific phone for emerging markets, which isn't as expensive as the current iPhone, but still, you know, a lot less expensive, so that, you know, those markets that don't rely on channel subsidies and carrier subsidies, where they need to sell the phone as a you know, an item you actually buy and then just, you know, pay as you go or whatever. I could imagine if they really want to keep it going, they might have to look down that route. But it certainly won't be a cheap and horrible iPhone. But it might be a less expensive iPhone.
Do you think that's a good route for them to go, Don? I mean, because Apple always has had, you know, like I've said before, this elite sort of status. That's why you want the product. That's why people love to open up their notebooks at a at a Starbucks, so, you know, the little Apple lights up. It's always been a status symbol with Apple. And
yeah, well, I think it still could be, even if, I mean, look at the iPods. You know, they had a whole range of iPods from $50 one up to $200 one.
True, that's a good point.
It's whether or not they need to keep growing as well, which is another big thing for them, because, you know, they've grown at such a rate, and the amount of cash they've got in the bank is such a high rate, but I don't know if they need to, but, you know, will they want to in the future still want to expand and grow their revenue and grow their bottom line, you know, as a company that has to look after their shareholders? You know, they're going to have to maintain the trajectory they're on. They're going to have to bring out new products, and they're going to have to sell, you know, bigger volumes of the products. As I say, whether or not they actually want to do that, or whether that's something they'll need to do that, I don't know, but certainly going down, you know, not losing the quality, not losing the cachet of Apple products, but, you know, making more products that are accessible to, you know, to mass markets, and a less expensive iPhone won't be one particular way to actually do that.
Chat room's agreeing quite heavily with Jeff, saying I don't see anything that's Apple cheap being out there soon. Mm-hmm. The Mac Mum says she agrees wholeheartedly with Jeff, doesn't want to see it. Teresa says she agrees with Jeff exactly, and if Apple does decide to go that route because of reporter pressure, it would be the wrong direction. Jimmy the Geek says, I don't know if cheap is the answer, but I'd certainly like to see models of iPhone released each year. So there's an emphasis there on the fact that there has to be a product churn to a certain degree, not just because of the fact they need to maintain interest and need to maintain purchases, but the people want that interest. They want that churn. They want that evolution. They don't want to sit with what they've got and go, actually, this is good enough.
Okay, here's the potential issue I see with a fast churn on iPhone change.
Okay.
We have the whole thing with multi-year contracts on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Apple want to see a lot of people upgrading their phones around the same time, or do they want to have it staggered where every year there's a different group of people that are buying a new phone and people then are skipping a version as a new model comes out? If it's at the 1 year mark for them, they skip it. If it's at the 2 year mark, they buy it. And I don't know what the numbers really are, so I don't know which way they would prefer to have that. And my guess is that's what's going to drive whether or not we get iPhones every year, every year and a half, or whatever that window is going to be.
But the second that Steve Jobs you know, walked back into Apple and drew on a whiteboard and said, right, we got four products and that's it, away we go. You naturally then have a process where people buy the product and wait for the next product and wait for the next product and wait for the next product. And
right.
And everyone, regardless, is sitting there now. Apple's kind of sold the idea of that they do model upgrade, S upgrade, model upgrade, S upgrade. So now everyone's sitting waiting for the 5S.
Right.
I think it's slightly even, though. I mean, because when I think Ewan, you were at a 4 and you went to a 4S, didn't you? I was thinking you were on a 3G and then you went to a 4S. Because a lot of people I know said, oh, I was on a 3G. Yeah, I went to I always just seen there's two different people. You got the S people and then you've got the number people. And I fall in the number. I'm sure there's quite a few that follow every year. They want the latest and the greatest. I don't know what the percentage of the numbers is either, but to me, you've already got that sort of market set where I've got a 4S, I'm going to wait for the 5S. I had a 4, I'm going to get a 5.
Mm. Yeah, that's traditionally due to the 2-year contract cycle, isn't it? So that, you know, people I think previously and, you know, historically, people have always just upgraded the phone when the contract runs out, but very few people are able to actually change the phone every year because they're tied into this 2-year contract. I mean, they can, but the penalties are quite punitive. But so that's been a good strategy for Apple in having a phone every year and having the S and the main phone. Well, they're not. It's not really the main phone. It's just a design change and then the S variant and then a design change and the S variant. And that, I think that's really fitted in very well with people on the 2-year cycle. I mean, I did notice a couple of carriers moving to like a 1-yearly cycle to enable people to, but that really hasn't followed through. But, you know, I don't know. I think I would like to see more 1-year contracts so that people could change their phones more rapidly as the technology sort of increases as well and as the speed of change should increase. But again, going back to the less expensive phone, I think there is a huge market for people who don't want to pay that sort of amount of money for a fully featured iPhone and could get away with something with slightly limited features.
Well, Apple has addressed, to a degree at least, the low-cost iPhone market because they're at the point now where they have the previous model is the discount phone and then two models back is the free or close to free phone. I think the big thing that they need to address now is how do you make the iPhone affordable in markets where you don't have the subsidized prices.
Yeah, because
at the moment, places like China.
Well, China and India. I don't think you can, if you wanted to, go out and buy an iPhone 4S or a 3G just as a device. I think you can only get them on contract. I think the only phone you can buy outright still is the iPhone 5 at the moment. So the older phones, although they would be cheaper, you can't actually buy them as a, you know, as an individual item. You can only pick them up as part of a contract, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Brazil's a huge market for them as well. I mean, Brazil's touching an enormous population, and they've got the manufacturing base now as well, including a lot of other tech companies. So wherever the manufacturing goes, the market then follows to push the product back to get your money back in that you've paid out for the manufacturing.
True. Well,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to make one comment that I seen here in the chat room. I think it was from, I have to go see you again. It was from Mac Jim. He said that he's fed up with his iPhone 5. He said it's a nice phone, but he's sick of iOS. I think that's kind of what everybody else is sort of saying too. The iOS, the interface, it needs an upgrade. It needs a facelift. And I think everything will be sort of coming back into harmony in Apple's way then. But when you start seeing your active sort of, you know, screens on the Samsung devices, that sort of lures people in to say, ooh, that looks, you know, looks all modern and techy and that looks sweet and you can do this and customize that. That's the place I think Apple needs to go to next. It's not, imagine if the iPhone 5 came with a completely different looking operating system. People wouldn't have cared that the phone looked similar to the 4 for the 4S. They would have said, it's completely different. Because the interface is completely different.
Yeah, it's a good point to lead into the Galaxy S4 because they had the launch event last night, which I didn't watch, but apparently the family were pretty memorable. And it was worse scripting than the, what was the event the other week that happened? And it was the BlackBerry thing where it was the guy coming out and he was really hip, and then the guy in the suit, and then the girl coming out, and they were just
talking. No, it was a processor thing in CES, wasn't it? One of the processors.
Oh, it was NVIDIA, yeah. Intel.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I didn't see the event, although I've heard lots and seen lots of tweets about how inappropriate it was at times. Or
Jeff, you've seen it.
I saw little clips, and my first thought was that someone was doing a spoof video. Because
that's never a good sign.
I mean, really, the stuff that I saw, I just kept thinking, no, there's no way Samsung really did this. Someone has put this together as a joke video, because it was this kind of surreal thing where it actually felt kind of misogynistic to me. So when they talked about the eye tracking thing, they did that with a woman. She has a drink in her hand, and the implication is she has painted nails and they're not dry, and so she doesn't want to spill her drink or mess up her nails, so she needs to use her eyes to look at what's there, and then they show her watching a video, but then when she looks away, the video stops playing. She looks away to look at some beefcake kind of guy that's undressing, and it's like, I have a feeling that you people are offending a major part of your target market. Just a hunch.
Can't you just imagine that in an Apple keynote?
The thing is, it's a shame Greeny's not here, because actually Greeny would really love that, because it's a Carry-On movie.
Okay, I have heard about the Carry-On movies, so I can appreciate that joke.
Oh, excellent. Good. No, but I mean, it is a Carry-On movie. You'd expect some girl to come out with a buxom top and then the top to fly off while she's doing some exercises. That would sell phones. No.
Yeah, and it just, yeah, it didn't feel like it was something that was highlighting the product. It felt more like it was an intentional spectacle. And it was more about skits than showing this new phone and what the new phone does.
They modeled it on Saturday Night Live, do you think? Could that be it?
Sure.
The Saturday Night Live method of product promotion.
Okay, it would have actually had a higher likelihood of being funny if they had the SNL crew put it together and do it.
I mean, it's a good-looking phone. You gotta say,
it's okay. I don't know. It looks plasticky to me now, and I know that I'm saying this having only seen photographs, and so the photographs may be giving me weird glare and reflection, but it looks more like a toy phone based on the materials than a serious. All-around good smartphone. So I'm really looking forward to seeing one in person so that I can decide whether or not I'm wrong on that interpretation.
Oh, yeah, I sometimes wonder, you know, these events that they have, and I mean, we've seen it several times now. Who are they aimed at? Because most of the audience is, you know, tech press and tech journalists and stuff, and surely they don't appreciate that sort of treatment that they get. But, you know, do they really think that your sort of average... you know, phone purchaser is actually going to take time out to watch this sort of launch event? And if so, why do they sort of pitch it like that? Seems really strange to me.
Actually, that's a really good point, because the average person is not going to watch this. It was an event targeting the media. So why do a weird, potentially offensive thing like that, when they could come out and say, okay, so here's our product. Mm-hmm. This is what it looks like. Here are the things that it does. Here's why we think it's cool. And here's why we think you're going to like it. And
yeah, a lot more respect for doing that. And probably a lot better coverage as well. You know, not this negative coverage that they get immediately following the event.
But here we are still talking about it.
Yeah, but we're talking about the event and it's, you know, and how it failed rather than, I mean, I know nothing about the phone. You know, all I've seen is just feedback on how lame it was. Not so much how lame the phone was, but how lame the event was. And, you know, I have to go now and try and find out, you know, what new features have they brought out. And what's the difference?
But there was, I mean, I go back to a long time ago, in the 80s, Hasselblad, ran a campaign saying how bad the Mamiya medium format cameras were in the Times, and they were desperately worried because Mamiya came out with this huge medium format camera that was supposedly extremely good quality. So Hasselblad hit back by running a whole pile of advertisements to quash that supposition. And when they stopped running the adverts, allegedly, I don't know how true this is, Mamiya rang the Times and offered to pay for them to carry on running the Hasselblad adverts.
Wow.
Column inches are column inches. Advertising is advertising. There's no such thing as bad press. Someone saying your name. Mm. I mean, if someone's out there mentioning British Tech Network in a sex scandal, I couldn't be happier. For both reasons.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, I guess if a sex scandal thing came out about me, I would be able to say, look, I now have proof that I've had sex. It's on the internet. It must be true.
There you go. Now that all those rumors have got to stop because you can sue.
That's right.
You can prove it. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else happened, Apple?
Well, we were talking about... What was a bit funny is we were talking about how the phone looked with the Samsung. I don't know where we're at, guys, because
That's all right. We'll say whatever you want, mate, because there's no plan today.
Because I'm having lovely internet connection problems here again. But the problem is that we gave Apple a lot of crap about how the 5 looked like the 4. Well, the new Samsung phone looks exactly like the last one. It's a little bit bigger. Screen's a little bit bigger. But nobody's not really saying anything about that, you know. And
I like the big screen. I really want the iPhone to have a bigger screen.
Well, I kind of agree with that. And then I hold the older Galaxy 3, and it just feels awkward in the hand. We talked about this before. You know, like I have to, feels like my thumb has to travel, you know, 9 feet to get to the top, and then it's got to travel back down. It just does not feel fluent in the hand. I'd rather just have a mini, have a phone in it if I'm going to do that.
Well, I'm gobsmacked that no one's followed the lead of the Note, because I think the Note is probably a great idea. You know, link that to a Bluetooth headset that's you don't look a dork having in your ear most of the day, and you could end up with something that's a very functional and usable device. I love my iPad Mini. It's never a million miles away from where I'm sat or walking. If that had a phone in it, I'd lose my iPhone quite happily. No question.
You know, the iPhone 5 is pretty much the biggest screen phone I've been able to manage. And I know I don't have the biggest hands in the world, but I have to wonder how many people are looking at phones like the S4 and they'll walk away from it because it's just too big for their hand. If the iPhone screen gets any bigger, I don't think I'm going to be able to manage the phone one-handed anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to juggle it around a little bit as it is.
Yeah, I think it's at the limit now because there are times when and most of the times I can just about manage with you know, with one hand. But you do find, or at least I find myself, precariously balancing it on one finger while this thumb goes up to the top. You know, and you have to hold it a certain way to actually you know use it with one hand. So I think if it goes any bigger, you know, or better off, then it's not really a one-handed phone, although you could probably still do some things with it. But the thing with the iPhone for me, and, you know, again, I love the iPad Mini, but the iPhone is a pocket device, whereas, you know, the iPad Mini just isn't. It's still a device you carry around, or if you have big pockets, it's fine. But, you know, the iPhone really is just something you can take anywhere with you because it will always fit in your trouser pocket. It could go slightly bigger. I mean, I really wouldn't worry too much if it you know went an extra half an inch bigger, as long as it was still a pocketable device and not sort of a luggable or portable device. It still needs to have that level of portability, But it could take, the screen could go a little bit bigger. I'm sure people aren't going to get too upset at the fact that you can't say that it's a one-handed phone anymore.
You could never go wrong with an extra half inch in your pocket. That's what exactly. I always say. chat room's spitting out fires. Sarah's saying the Note is awesome. It would be my phone of choice if I was looking for a new phone right now, most definitely. Sarah's an Android girl. She had a play with it. iPad is damn near a phone with Skype and voice call. Why not? A Google Voice, says Mark Shepherd. Batwitch just think it's a... Oh, no, that's a different thing. I've got a Samsung Galaxy S3. On the first day I got it, I rooted it and put in a useful ROM, which was far better. There you go. Piss poor stock ROM from Samsung.
That's a problem. If people have to root their phone to put a better ROM on it, at that point, this is not a device that my mom or dad would buy. Because they don't even know what rooting is. They don't know what jailbreaking is. And I talk to them all the time. So, my point is, I see the fact that people feel the need to root their Android phones as a problem for that market.
Oh, and Redux in the chat room saying, after rooting my phone, it was about 50% faster. The battery life was vastly improved. I don't want any vendor shite. I can do what I want with it. It becomes my device and not their device on loan to me. Great point. I mean, and that's the beauty of the Android market, is the fact that you could end up rooting your device very easily, whereas the CDM market's not really for iPhone. It's still not that accessible and that good an idea.
I don't know. It depends who needs to do it. Because again, rooting your phone is down to the enthusiast, really. You know, your average Joe isn't going to want to do that or even know what it's all about. I mean, if you do want to jailbreak your iPhone or your iOS device, it's possible now. And I know it comes in waves. Sometimes it's easier than others. And the current jailbreak for the iPhone and iPad is probably the simplest it's ever been. So if you do want access to that, and it will probably break at the next release, but if you do want access to that, you know, the enthusiast market can go in and do that. I think Android is probably easier to do because it's sort of not as hackable, or rather it is more hackable than the iPhone. But again, you know, who wants to do that? Who has the time or the inclination to actually do that? I don't think that part of the market's particularly big.
Redux in the chat room, I can't read that out. I just can't read that out. So sorry. Great point though. Telstra. I was going to say something then. No, I've forgotten it. Never mind. Oh, the phone. Now, I went to, it was a wife's birthday and my daughter's birthday in the same week, a couple of weeks ago. And we went to the zoo. I said this last night at the big show. And there was a girl there with a Galaxy S3. And the video quality of what she was capturing there in fairly low light in the gorilla house was absolutely brilliant. I was so impressed with it. And this thing's come out with a 13 megapixel camera that they reckon's got even better low light performance and really could knock the iPhone 4 or iPhone 5 camera into a bit of a cocked hat. And the camera's not changed particularly from the five for the 4S. Is video quality... Oh, that's Kyle. He's gone.
Yeah, I mean, video quality... I mean, and the camera is one of the... Two. It's one of the big selling points, isn't it, for the iPhone? And they will, you know, incrementally improve it with the next release, and they will continue doing that either by the flash or the video performance, etc. Low noise is a great area to make better, to be honest. Because it's still not that good, although it's a lot better than it was. But, you know, you can expect that. You'll see the next phones will just leapfrog each other in the video performance. I think that's pretty much a given.
You'd hope so. I hope so. I'm just trying to get Kyle back.
Right.
Never mind. I can edit this bit out, don't worry. Not that I will. The French workers haven't got to work over anymore. Apparently, when the store closes, they can't be kept home to do stock retail and checks and all that kind of stuff.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Oh, bad luck. Sorry, Carl. And they don't have to do it anymore. So the unions have got a €10,000 damages from Apple on this one. Six Labour French unions filed against Apple. Go on, Jeff.
All right. So the whole notion that there's a law that says you can't work between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m., unless your employer can show that what you do is absolutely necessary for like public safety or I'm assuming that if they're nightclubs, they can have their employees work later because the nightclub couldn't be open. But just the notion in general that there's a law that says, nope, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., everyone's off. That's just really weird to me. And of course, I work in the United States where they don't care. Whatever hours your boss wants to make you work, you better show up or you lose your job.
Yeah, you got to bear in mind, though, that in every French Apple store, they've got a zoned off area where they can go burn a sheep. And I think they're on strike 3 days a week. So, I mean, it's...
Well, the French labor laws are really generous to the workers, aren't they? I mean, they really are. The amount of holiday time they get and the working condition laws, etc., are very impressive if you're a worker.
Well, it's because they feel sorry for them because they're French.
Well,
they have to put up with enough because they're French.
It's not good, though.
Oh, no, we can go there all you like, mate. I'll sit here and run the French down. In fact, the only people that I'll run down more than the French this weekend are the Welsh, and that's only because we're playing them at rugby.
Oh, right.
After that, we'll go back to being best of mates. But
all the ice cream, man. Sorry about that.
All the taffies in the chat room are going down this weekend. I will not. I can't. There's nothing else, is there?
What? 10.8.3 came out.
Did it?
Yeah.
I never even noticed.
Yeah, it came out.
Yeah, that was yesterday afternoon, evening.
Right. Changes? Fixed gatekeeper crashes?
A few bug fixes. No major functionality. I think they fixed the... a new version of iTunes came out as well that allows you to use iTunes gift cards on your iSight camera. But nothing major. I've seen some people quite happy that some of the bugs they fixed, but it's just nice to always get a new release out.
Sure. There's also the firmware update that came out for the Retina and MacBook Pros for video.
Yeah.
And that should fix some fan issues and some other video artifacting issues that Retina MacBook Pro owners have. And by coincidence, it came out on the same day that some guy in California filed a class action lawsuit against Apple for the displays in the Retina MacBook Pro.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's news from, okay, for you guys this afternoon, for me this morning. There's a guy in California. He has filed a lawsuit because of the ghosting issue that has been a problem for some of the LG Retina displays that are in the MacBook Pro as opposed to the Samsung ones. And the basis of the lawsuit is, well, Apple knows that this is a problem, and they're not letting their customers know that they're selling two versions of the Retina MacBook Pro, and one is better than the other, and they're charging the same price. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wow, anyone will sue Deep Pockets for anything.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of like the French again, isn't it? Let's all band together and let's storm the Bastille. It's French behaviour, I tell you. No good will come of it.
But I have to say that
actions.
Yeah, the whole thing between the Retina display, though, has been puzzling to me because I was sort of hearing different stories from people. I mean, I've got one of the earlier Retina MacBook Pros, and I did notice the ghosting issue. And it wasn't that big a deal to me, but, you know, because to be honest, most of the time I use it with my Apple display anyway, so I don't actually use the Retina display. But when you do use the Retina display is gorgeous, but if you have... screens in a fixed position and move the screen, you can actually see the ghosting working, you know, quite significantly. But again, it wasn't enough to make me sort of, pull my finger out and get it sorted.
Or file a class action lawsuit.
Well, yeah, but then I heard that, Apple had recognized this particular issue. And the last thing I saw was a tech note or an advice note saying, this is standard with this particular type of technology. So I thought, oh, well, that's me done then, you know, I'm not going to get this replaced. And then I heard some people had their panels replaced by Apple, and other people had gone to the store and Apple had said, no, that's just, that's just how it is. So, but eventually I thought, no, I'm going to get mine sorted because, not so much for now, but when the time comes to resell it, you know, if it's got really bad ghosting, I'm going to have problems reselling it. So I took it down to Apple, and they replaced it. They didn't replace the book. They took it in for repair, and they replaced the original LG panel with the other panel. Is it a Samsung panel, the one that's okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's fine. There's no ghosting whatsoever. So it seems really weird that they sort of have double, you know, this double approach. One, they will replace it in some instances, and in other cases, they'll just refer to this tech note and say, no, that's standard behavior.
My guess is that people that go into the Apple store and they get all bitchy about the display are having less luck getting their laptop or the display replaced. But if you go in and you're cool to the staff and you're polite, then you're probably getting a new laptop or at least a new display. That would be my guess.
That does. I had the guy by the throat. I had him on the. I was.
No. You're just an animal.
No, I always take that approach.
And if you don't help me, I'm going to call my French cousin.
No.
And
no,
he's going to go on strike.
Because every Apple store needs a token scouser.
Yeah. Well, what I did know, I just luckily I was waiting for the guy on the Genius Bar for about 10 minutes. So I just ran a test grid on the screen. And then as soon as it came over, I just took the test grid away and you could see all the pattern left on the screen. So there was no argument really. He just said, yeah, we'll replace it. It's no
big deal. There's a lot of stuff goes on with Apple if you leave stuff. I mean, I took my 27-inch screen back. This is less than 2 months old, and it wouldn't wake up. I took it back in, and they said, oh, no, have you got any drives connected to it? And well, yeah, I have. I've got a FireWire drive connected to it. Yeah, probably what's happening is it's seeing the drive, and it's waiting for the drive to wake it up, and then the drive's not waking up, so that's not waking the Mac, that's not waking the screen up. The screen is still connected to the laptop, and the laptop should wake up. You know, the laptop wakes up on a wobble with the mouse. Why doesn't the screen? I have to unplug the Thunderbolt. Because apparently on the internet it says that, you know, that's a faulty cable. No, I'd beware of forums if I were you. Leave it with us. And 2 days later, I go and pick it up. No, we couldn't find anything wrong with it. I bring it back. I've connected it back exactly the same way as it was before I took it down there. Not once has it done it.
Hmm.
You draw your own conclusions. Aye, aye. That'd be Avon.
Probably.
It could be. Your makeup order's arrived, Jeff.
That's awesome, because I need all the help I can get.
Good man. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. We love them. We absolutely adore them. I had a lovely email this morning. A guy named Mark wrote in and he said, hi, just wanted to say how much I enjoyed the shows. I found you by listening to Ewan on an episode of MacCast last year and downloaded the Big Show, Mac Show, iOS Show and all of the rest. Fantastic mix of serious banter, chatter and banter. I'll leave the review on iTunes, but the reason I've sent you an email is to tell you how pleased I was with your sponsor, UK2, and the offer codes that they bring. I bought my first ever domain last week and got 20% off, and also added 50%, and also got DNS for free for a whole year. Fantastic deals, and a big thank you to UK2 for making the whole process very easy, especially for a novice like myself. Keep up the good work, fellas. Really pleased that they sponsor the British Tech Network. Regards, Mark. Thank you, Mark. It's kind of you to send in an email and say thanks for the stuff, but also UK2 are great. They keep us afloat. If they're not there, we're not there, plain and simple. The server that they offer us with the bandwidth that we consume would cost us around 450 quid a month. And we can't afford that, plain and simple. I mean, we've had as much as Apple had their iOS 6 debacle issue, we had 124 terabytes went off our server 1 month.
Wow.
And UK2 just picked it up, said, no worries at all. We didn't get a bill through. Christ knows how much that bill would have been if we'd been on metering. It would have been awful. So please support UK2, because every dollar, pound, whatever currency you are, wherever you are in the world, you can use UK2. But whatever you spend with them, it helps keep us on the air if you're coming through our website and using our offer code. So go to britishtechnetwork.com first and use the click through. We'd be lost without them. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much. Cool things.
Oh, okay.
Donny Boy. Yeah, as always, mate.
Well, yeah. Well, what I thought I'd do, in fact, this cool thingy is, I'm gonna put it in as this week's cool thingy, although, in fairness, I've hardly used it, but I'm going to use it a lot more, but I've used the old version, and so I'll shut up and tell you that it's Alfred, Alfred version 2. Alfred is a great, well, it's not just an application launcher, it does all sorts of things on your system. It's sort of similar to LaunchBar, but it does a few things that LaunchBar doesn't, but again, LaunchBar does a few things that it doesn't. But it's a really nice system, and they've just come up with a brand new rewrite called version 2, and I need to dig into it in a bit more detail to find out some of the new features, but they've put an extra layer of polish on it, so it looks really nice. And there's a new thing called workflows, allow you to chain commands and stuff together. So I'm going to experiment with that over the next week or so. But it only came out, I think, either yesterday or today. So I thought I'd promote that as this week's cool thingy. That's Alfred version 2.
You've got to say, if you're a Mac user, you've got to A, subscribe to Screencasts Online. Otherwise, you're not a Mac user. And B, you've got to have Alfred app on your computer. Otherwise, you're not a Mac user.
Yeah.
Anyone who's sensible has got Alfred app on. It's just, it's what Alt and the spacebar were made for.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
And then you just type and it goes, oh, I've got a program, I've got Google, I've got a file. It just finds it. If you haven't got Alfred app, the lady that makes it, Vero, and her, is it a son that's the developer with her?
Yeah. No, it's Andrew, isn't it?
Andrew. Yeah. They are fantastic, lovely people, as well as they make a fantastic product. So there you go. I'm sure they drive Ferraris as well, which makes me hate them. But even so, go and use, it's a great app. Alfred app is brilliant.
Well, I have to say, they did give me, when it first came out, I got like a review, you know, not for resale license. And I've been using that with the old version of Alfred. But when Alfred version 2 came out, I thought, no, I'm going to buy it this time because it's a great
app. The basic bit of Alfred is free.
That's right. Oh, yeah, perhaps I should point out, there's Alfred, which is free. You can also get Alfred, the free version from the Mac App Store. But if you want to use the real power of Alfred, there's a thing called a Power Pack, which is the thing that you pay for. Now, if you're going to use the Power Pack, the thing is to download it from the website. Download the free version from the website, and the free version from the website you can upgrade to the Power Pack version inside the same app.
But the Power Pack is nothing in terms of cost, is it? It's
relatively cheap.
$12? Yeah. $13, something like that?
Yeah. They do a single version, they do a 5-user version, and they do a thing called a Mega Supporter, which is free upgrades for life once you become a Mega Supporter as well. So
you got a free trial on a $13 application. Shame on you, McAllister.
What?
You've taken over from Swagger. He's infected you.
No! What have I done?
You got a free review copy of a $13 application, Adam.
Oh, in the early days.
Oh.
That was a long time ago.
You paid now.
That's something I never do. They offered it to me. I didn't go looking for it.
No, it's all right. I'm only kidding. Good pick, mate. Love that. Cool. Excellent pick. Jeff, do you have anything cool for us?
I do. And I thought about using time.is again. Simply because daylight saving and time zone changes and all that, it wreaks havoc with my little brain. But instead of using that again, I'm going to tell you about a cool thing that Allison Sheridan from NozillaCast turned me on to this morning, and it's called Time Scroller. It's an iOS app that costs $1.99. That's US. And it shows you different time zones. It lets you set appointments as well, and it will even color code the little indicators that go along with the various cities that you're tracking, so that you have a quick visual to know if the time that you're looking at falls within like regular business hours. And they also have a free widget for the Mac, so you can use it there too. But it looks like a really slick little tool for keeping track of all the different time zones that you need to monitor. And then for tying back into calendar and setting up appointments that you know fall within the correct times.
Right. So the color coding thing is not based on the time zone, though, is it? Because I'm looking here in Bangalore, Kiev, Lisbon and Ipswich in the UK, Christ knows why they put Ipswich on, are all green.
Yeah, I think you can set it so that it's showing you green for certain times of days in specific cities.
Right. A suitable time for an overseas phone call or conference. Check if now is a good time to call.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
So yeah, so it looks like it has some nice extra features tucked in there beyond just simply being able to tell you what time it is somewhere else.
So it's got, if it's green in Ipswich, Sydney's saying, hell no, don't be calling. There we go. And it's got the relative time and the day as well, because that's the interesting thing with Sydney, of course, that it would be in a different time zone. So it could have a completely different date as opposed to the one that you're on. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Mm.
And it's available for iPhone or iPod Touch as well as, or you can have it as a widget on Mac. Timescroller.com/about.html. There you go. Good pick, mate. You've been into your time zones this week, haven't you, mate? You can see.
Yeah, I'm having serious time zone math issues this week.
just crawl back into bed, mate, and pull the covers up over your head. That's what I do. It just works.
I'm totally okay with that.
My cool thing, I did this last night in the big show, but I'm going to mention it again because they sent me, we get review units through periodically, but not a huge amount. So when they do come, I like to give them a little mention. But this is just a piece of acrylic. It's called the Willy. It's available from Insanely Great Products. And it's a double-suckered thing for putting your iPhone on. And it holds your iPad mini as well. It'll support the weight of that. But basically, you just push it on and stick it. And there you go. It sits on your desk and you can plug your charger in and that's it. Or you can stand it up in the car and there it goes. The other thing that's pretty cool with it is the fact that it's got two suckers on it. And this one can fit onto your windscreen, while this one holds your iPhone, and it holds it at a reasonable angle. I've put that in my van, and it does hold it pretty well at the right angle to use the iPad. And you can also stick your iPhone to it the other way up. There you go. And then you can put it on your shoulder if you want to put your thing here so that you can do something else with two hands. So there you go. The Willy, it's $20, available from Insanely Great Products. Just Google that, and it's away and running. But the other one that they sent me through that was really cool was the Frame Shift. It's an iPad stand from Darwin Machine, and it's the same promotional firm that does it. But they've got this thing, and on the back, it's what's really useful is it's got this really nice, well-made bar that allows you to change the angle completely that your iPad sits at. And one of the things that I like to do is I'll have the iPad here on the desk and then I'll go through and I'll do some cooking and I'll have the iPad on with F1 or I'll have some golf on or something like that or a movie. And the problem is if you look at all the stands that you get, they're all a set angle. And actually you want it more upright when it's on the desk, and when you're cooking you want it to lay flat. So this thing at the back here helps you to lay it flatter so that you can change the angle that you view it at, and you can even lay it right the way down so you can use it like it's a type on. I took this the other day on the train with me, and it worked really well on the little tables. It would work great on a flight table on an aircraft. And it folds flat, so it doesn't take up a huge amount in your bag either. There you go. That's the Frame Shift from Darwin Machine, and I think it's $30-ish, something like that. There you go. Well worth the buy. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
Right, we can find me over at screencastonline.com, where you'll find links to the weekly tutorials, to the magazine, and also to the SEO tutor apps on the iPhone and the iPad. Oh, and you can also find me on Twitter and on app.net as Don McAllister.
Excellent. The Mac Mommy in the chat room says, what's the sucker thing again? The sucker thing is called the Willy. You should remember that, because apparently, according to Jeff, in America, the Willy still means penis.
And the fact that I was able to keep a straight face through your whole description of the product today.
Excellent. You're a professional,
it's
mate.
It's only because I laughed through the whole thing last night.
I would like to show you my Willy. Thank you, Teresa. Teresa's put a link into my Willy, but that link is not the one that you're thinking it is. Don't click it, for God's sake. I'm joking. Jeff, where can we get you, mate?
You can find me at macobserver.com, which is where I have a bunch of great writers working along with me. And go check everything out there. Find me on Twitter. My Twitter name is jgamut, and same thing on app.net. And I mentioned my my coffee shop blog last night, yes. So I'll mention it again now. Fresh Brewed Tales. Head over there, freshbrewedtales.com, and check out all the ridiculous stuff that I see happening in coffee shops.
Batwinch in the chat room is saying that apparently penis has the same mention or the same meaning in Wales as well when you use the term willy. The only difference is in Wales, of course, that penises are used for something completely different. Bah. It's only going to start and get worse now because it's up to kick off. That's it. And then come 7 p.m. tomorrow night when it's all over and England have won, I'm going to be unbearable on Twitter. Ah, thank you, Workbench. Yep, there we go. I'm Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get Kyle Swagger on app.net and at Twitter at Kyle Swagger. You can get Dr. Happy Mac at Dr. Happy Mac on app.net and Twitter as well, because he was meant to be here but had to cry off. And Andy Anatko, you'll never hear from again because he'll be
his Android alarm didn't go off.
Yeah, he'll be Tim Cook's bitch for the next 20 years. There you go. Right. We'll be back again next week with the Mac Show. We won't be here the week after. Don't forget. So next week, shows as normal. Thursday, Friday, and Friday. And then the following week, there won't be anything, I'm afraid. I'm on holiday. I'm going to have some fun with the kids and my wife in a caravan down in Dorset, which should be horrible if the weather's bad. The noises have been unbearable today. It's like someone's bought sound thingy for your iPad that just plays random noises. And we'll be back the following week. So after that, so there we go. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your Mac products. Anticipate that there won't be an Apple keynote in the foreseeable future, baby. See you next week. Bye.